Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you and praise your glorious name. Amen? Lord, we give you all the glory this morning in the house of the Lord. And we ask, Lord, that the eyes of our understanding may be enlightened this morning. That we may be able to comprehend the great things, oh yeah, that you have given us out of the abundance of all of your goodness, Lord. And we thank you. Glorify yourself, Lord, this morning in the message of the Lord. And let all be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Can I get an amen on that? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, this morning, I am going to be speaking on chariots of fire. Oh, my. Chariots of fire. Amen. Praise God. Well, you say chariots of fire. Well, you may not understand that yet, but you will by the time the message is over. So I'm going to start here on 2 Kings chapter 6. And I'm going to read a text to us here. Now, the background to this story, if you want to read, you can read the whole chapter later on and so on, you know, but you know, I'm not going to read all of it. And even before that, you know, but the background to this story is that the king of Syria was waging war against Israel. And, you know, the king would always set some ambushments and different things for Israel. But there was a man of God called Elisha. Now that's S-H-A, not J-A-H. Now that's Elisha, the prophet. So this man, Elisha, you know, he would tell Israel, you know, everything that the enemy was planning, and they would escape. You know, so here goes the story in verse 8 of Kings, 2 Kings 6. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place, you know, shall be my camp. So we're going to set camp over here. You know, we're going to lay in wait for Israel over here. So he said, well, you know, as soon as he said that, and the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, now, beware thou, so that you don't pass over in this place, because, you know, the Syrians have laid wait for you over there and so on. You know, they're waiting for you to come down, and they, you know, they're going to pounce on you. So, and the king of Syria and the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there, not once or twice. So, because of the warnings of the man of God, the king of Israel escaped the ambush so many times. Now, so, guess what happened? Finally, the king of Syria said, well, you know, there's got to be a traitor in our camp. There's one of you, and I'm going to check it out this morning. One of you here, every time we make these plans, I mean, how come they know our every move? You know, so he was going to search out his people to see who the traitor was. Well, one of them said, King, you don't even go there. It's not any of us, but there is a man of God in Israel. Amen. There's a man of God in Israel. He tells the king of Israel the very things that you are speaking about in your chamber. Hallelujah, somebody. Oh, yeah, well, that's, you know, that's the power of the prophet. You know, he can zero in with the eyes of the eagle. Oh yes. And he can hear anything too, you know, that the Lord wants him to hear and can see. You know, and he warned Israel. So finally, the king of Syria said, is that a fight? He said, yeah. He said, where is this man? So they told him. So he said, well, here's what I'm going to do. So he gathered together a company. Now listen to what he did. And he said in verse 13, go and spy out where he is, so I may send and fetch him. And so they told him that he's in a place called Dothan. So he said, you know, he gathered his own horses and chariots, you know, and put together, you know, a company, a great host, you know. He wanted to arrest this one person. But he put together a great host, a great army, you know. And they came by night, and they compassed the city about. You know, so that's what they did, you know. So they found out where the man of God, Elisha, was, and then they sent this great army with chariots and horses and everything. You know, and already they laid wait for him, ready to pounce on him. So what happened was the servant of the man of God got up early in the morning to do his chores, you know, and you know, then he went out and he looked, and my goodness, I mean, he saw the, you know, armies, and he saw, he ran back inside and said, you know, and he woke the man of God up and he said, "My, what's happening here? I mean, there's a big host against us." You know, and so he said, you know, the Bible says in verse 15, his servant said unto him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" Because he saw this army that came up against them and compassed the city. And listen to what Elisha, the man of God, said. And he said unto him, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." Can somebody say amen? "Oh, they that be with us are more than they that be with them." So is what he told them. And so Elisha prayed. So the man said, well, he said, "I don't know what you're talking about. I don't see anybody here but you and me, you know." So, and then Elisha said, "Well, you'll see in a minute." So Elisha prayed. And he said, "Oh Lord, I pray, let his eyes be opened." And as he prayed, the eyes of the servant were opened, and he saw chariots of fire. Oh, chariots of fire, the Bible says. And angels sitting upon those chariots. Hallelujah, somebody. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. That's chariots of fire. Amen. And as he prayed, the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Now, the chariots of fire were not exactly around everybody, but they were around the man of God. They were around Elisha because he believed in his God. Now, you may not see these chariots of fire, but if you are somebody that fears the Lord, they are around you all the time. All you got to do is open your eyes. In fact, the Bible says in the book of Psalms 34 and verse 7, "The angel of the Lord encamps around them that fear the Lord." So they're there all the time. Praise God. You may see it, or you may not see it. Sometimes the Lord may open your eyes. But I want you to know today that they that are with us are more than they that are against us. How many of you can say amen to that? Praise ye the name of the Lord. In the book of Psalms 68 and verse 17, one of the times that David, while praising the Lord, he pierced the veil. And he saw visions of God. And he saw the Lord riding upon chariots. He saw the hosts of God. And he said, "The chariots of the Lord are 20,000. Even thousands of thousands." Hallelujah. So God's got those chariots. He's got thousands of them. And they are at your disposal. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. So the chariots of fire. Let me read another story to you here real quick. You know, how the Lord uses, God's got his own forces. You know, and people, you know, in Psalm 20, he says some people trust in their own horses and chariots, but we will trust in the name of the Lord. Well, the Lord's got his own chariots too. Amen. In 2 Chronicles, chapter 32, there's an interesting story here. You know, I like this story. I like the story of this man, Hezekiah. There's many things that are written about him in many places in the Bible. You know, and there are a lot of things to learn from him and so forth like that. But this story here, that we want, I want to just quote something that Hezekiah said when he faced, you know, some crisis. You know, there was the king of, you know, the king of Assyria that came up against them and challenged them and ridiculed and mocked the Lord. And he said, "Look, you know, you guys better submit or, you know, I'm going to waste your land." You know, Hezekiah, he encouraged his people. He said, "Look, you know, don't worry about it. The Lord is with us," and so forth like that. So this man, he mocked them some more, and he said, look at what all the, you know, look, I'm going to tell you what happened, you know, to so many nations that trusted in gods, just like Hezekiah is making you trust in the Lord your God. You know, all those people, where are they? My fathers destroyed all of them. We wiped them out. And we did all of these things. So don't trust in Hezekiah, the man told, you know, and he mocked them every day, see. He said, "Can the Lord deliver you out of my hand?" And he mocked every single day. He did all of that. Well, you know, he not only mocked Hezekiah, you know, But his greatest mistake was he mocked the Lord. Amen? Praise God. You know, but God's going to show him here in a minute. See, God, you know, the Bible says the blast of his nostrils can remove islands and mountains and so forth. You know, praise God. You know, God doesn't even need to lift a finger. You know, he can send just an angel is all he needs to send. And he's got chariots and angels and so forth, but he doesn't need more than one angel to wipe out a whole multitude sometimes. You know. But anyway, this man, he continued to mock. Listen to what Hezekiah said in 2 Chronicles 32, and I'm going to read verse 7. Be strong and courageous, and be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him. For there be more with us than with him. Doesn't that sound just like what Elisha said? There be more with us. You know, somebody that has faith in the Lord always knows that one with God is the majority. Amen? Amen, somebody? One with God is a majority. Because God's got chariots of fire that's got your back. Amen. So he said, with him. Now, this is the one thing I want you to hear this morning. Verse 8. This is what Hezekiah, he knew. He said, with this man is the arm of flesh. See, the arm of flesh. But with us is the Lord our God. You know, one time, David, he faced a monumental task in Goliath. And he said the same thing. He said, you come out against me with staves and swords and all of these things and so forth. That's the arm of flesh. He said, but today you have defied the armies of our living God. You know, he transcended from the natural. See, everybody else said, well, you know, he's come against the armies of Israel. David said, uh-oh. He has defied the armies of the living God. And I'm going to come against him in the name of the Lord God of hosts. Praise the name of Jesus. You know, and Hezekiah, of course, Hezekiah, great, you know, he knew all of that and so forth like that. You know, the same, you know, the blood runs in the family tree. Amen. Hezekiah, he knew all the things that David had done and so forth like that. So, here's what he did. He told them, he said, the Lord will fight for us our battles. And so, the people, they rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah. Oh yeah. And when he did that, you know, the king of Assyria continued to mock them and so forth. But listen to how the Lord delivered Hezekiah and his people. In verse 21, and the Lord sent an angel. That's all he needs, just one angel. The Lord sent an angel, we cut off all the mighty men of Baalor and all the leaders and captains of the king of the camp of the king of Assyria. The Lord, just one angel, discomfited all of them. You know, I just cut them all off. That's how great he is. Praise ye the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh yes, and the Lord, he won the victory. And this man, he returned to his own land, and somebody from his own family killed him. That's right. You read the rest of the story. I don't, you know, want to go into all of that, but I'm going to just show how the Lord uses his chariots, how he uses his angels, and all of these things to fight the battles for us sometimes. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4, we are told these same things. You know, the Bible says that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. You know, you can say greater, it could be greater. You know, we know the Lord is greater than the devil. That's what he's talking about. But in fact, the hosts of the Lord are also greater than the hosts of the world. Praise God. Don't you know that the Lord always referred to himself as the Lord of hosts? That's right. He's a man of war. Hallelujah. Oh, he knows. And he's, you know, I like to call him the seven-star general, you know. Because he's got the seven stars in his hands. Now, he knows how to fight the battles. In fact, I'm going to tell you here one way that the Lord likes to fight your battles. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 14. And I'm going to read a few verses here. I'll tell you this story. Now, some of you may know this story. But this is the story of when God would deliver Israel, who had been in bondage for over 400 years in Egypt. And he hardened the heart of Pharaoh and all of that. And finally, by through the hand of God and multiple miracles in the land, you know, by the hand of Moses, his servant, he brought them out with a mighty hand and hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and Pharaoh pursued them, you know, into the wilderness and so forth like that. You know, so they came up against the Red Sea, you know, and there was nowhere to turn. You know, the Red Sea was in front of them, and Pharaoh was charging behind them. But here's what the Lord did. And, you know, the angel of the Lord went with the camp of Israel. And in fact, at times, he turned into a pillar of fire in the night. And then he turned into a cloudy pillar in the day. And when he moved, see, you know, when the angel of the Lord, when he wanted them to stay put, the pillar of fire would settle down right there in front of them. And now the horses, you know, and everybody see the fire, so they can't move anywhere. They just stay put. And then when he's ready for them to move, the pillar of fire would lift up, and then they go forward. And just God just continued with them, you know, like that. And then finally, when Pharaoh came down upon them and so forth, the angel of the Lord in verse 19, the angel of God which went before the camp of Israel removed from before the camp of Israel. And he went behind them, you know, and the pillar of cloud that went before them and swelled, he went and stood behind them. So now God, you see, remember where he said, the glory of the Lord will be your rare reward, you know. Now he's got their back. Amen. Praise ye the name of the Lord. So he's going to come between them and their enemy. So the pillar of fire, he stood right there, you know. Oh my. But before all of that, here's what Moses, the man of God, told them in verse 13. Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. Man, isn't that a bold statement? You have to have been in the presence of God before you can make a statement like that. And Moses, he knew what he was talking about. Amen? Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. The Lord shall fight for you, he said, and ye shall hold your peace. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Because the battle is not yours, but it is the Lord's. You know, and most of the time, you know, the reason why the Lord doesn't fight for us exactly is because we don't stand still. And our eyes are not upon him to see his salvation. We take matters into our hands, and we try to do it ourselves. You know, in fact, you know, the Bible says, avenge not yourselves, for vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Because the vengeance, you know, of man and so forth, that doesn't work the righteousness of God. You know, so God, he'll take care of business if you let him. Praise you the name of the Lord. Now, of course, as the story goes here, you know, the pillar of fire that stood between Israel and the Egyptians and so forth, you know, that pillar of fire just stood there, and their, you know, the raging horses and so forth, they couldn't go through the fire because, you know, so they just kept there and they couldn't go, you know. And the Lord, he made sure that Israel passed through on dry land, you know. Amen. Amen. Moses, he divided the Red Sea, and the ransom went through. And listen to what he did here. You know, I love the way that he said it here. And the children of Israel, verse 22, went into the midst of the sea upon that dry ground. And the Lord had piled the waters as a wall unto them on the right hand and on the left hand. The Lord heaped up the waters so that the ransom could go through on dry land. Oh, you know, and some unbelieving person one time said, well, I don't believe that at all. You know, I think Israel found a place where the water was just ankle deep, and that's where they went by. And I said, well, you know, that's great. You know, if they went through ankle deep water, the same ankle deep water swallowed up the Egyptians and their chariots. So that's a great miracle. Amen. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. No, it wasn't ankle deep water. The Lord heaped up the waters. Oh, hallelujah. And they went through on dry land because he's a mighty God and he can do that. And finally, the Lord, you know, when he made sure that Israel had passed over, then the angel of the Lord, who was in that pillar of fire, he removed and allowed Pharaoh and his hosts to charge forward, you know, sucker them in. Praise God. That's right. He suckered them in. you know. So they tried writing, and when he found out that they were right in the middle of the Red Sea, he brought back the waters over there. And the Lord, got rid of the enemies of Israel that one day. And the Lord magnified his name. The Lord was sanctified. The name of the Lord was sanctified before all Israel that day. And the people feared the Lord because they saw the great deliverances of our God. That's what God will do for his people. Amen. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Let me read some more deliverances here that God wrought by the angel of the Lord and the chariots of fire and so forth like that. Now, 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verses 15 through 22. Now, this story, you know, another great descendant here of David that knew, you know, how to trust in the Lord. Now, this time we're dealing with Jehoshaphat. And some of you may have read this story. But again, you know, he was faced with something similar, you know, that the children of Ammon and Moab and Seir and all of these people gathered together, you know, against them. They were a great host, you know, and they were all afraid because, you know, they didn't have quite exactly the number that their enemies had. But they had something else. They had the Lord God of hosts. Amen. Praise God. Now listen to this story. Let me read it to you here. You know, verse 12. I will start at verse 12. O our God, Jehoshaphat prayed, will thou not judge those people that are against us? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do. But here is the secret. But our eyes are upon thee. Hallelujah, somebody. His eyes were upon the Lord. Now, when the enemy comes against you and they outnumber you, so to speak, turn your eyes unto the Lord. And peradventure, he might open your eyes and let you see the chariots of fire that are all around you. Oh, yes. And the Lord, he spoke by the Spirit of the Lord upon Jehaziel that day, came upon him and he said, you know, he said, don't be afraid of these people and so forth like that. Be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. Verse 15. You know, for the battle is not yours, but it is God's. Tomorrow, I want you to go down against them, you know, and he told them where they're going to be coming from and so forth. And he said, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. All you have to do is set yourself, sir. Stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will wrought for you. Oh yes, chariots of fire, we're going to fight for them. He said, fear not, be not dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord, he will be with you. And as soon as Jehoshaphat had, you know, heard that promise, he bowed down. In verse 18, he bowed down and he worshipped. Hallelujah, somebody. Well, that's what we need to do today. When you hear a promise of God's hand of deliverance that is coming to you, you need to bow down. And you need to worship. Hallelujah. So he bowed down and he worshipped. And he made all of Israel, you know, all of Jerusalem, everybody, you know, bow down to and they worship the Lord. And Jehoshaphat, he spoke the words of faith. He said, hear, O Israel, ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, and so shall ye be established. Believe also his prophets. And that's how you're going to prosper, he told them. He said, and then he did one strange thing. When he consulted with the people, he found out, he said, look, I want the best singers. I want the people that know how to praise the Lord the most. You know, and the people said, are you kidding? We're going into the battle and you're looking for singers? He said, we got the word of the Lord. We shall not need to fight in this battle. You know, generally people said generals and the people that are trained in battle and so forth. Joseph said, no, I want the people that are trained in worship. I want the people that know how to praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, somebody. And he got all the singers. He got the people that knew how to praise. He got the people that knew how to do the music and do the dance. The people that knew how to get down before the Lord. Hallelujah, somebody. He said, that's the people I want. Hallelujah. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord. And that they should praise the beauty of holiness. And he set the singers and the praisers before the army. Not behind. He put the praise first ahead of the victory. How many of you say praise the name of the Lord? Now that's how you get the victory from the Lord, is to put your praise, get your praise on. Amen. Get your praise on in the morning. In the morning, when you come out from your bed, you get your praise on. You know, the enemy say, well, it's going to be another day. You know, and they say, oh no, this is the day that the Lord has made. That's right. You get your praise on in the morning. Hallelujah. And when you put the praise ahead of the battle that is coming, the Lord will fight for you. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Oh yeah, because God got those chariots of fire. Oh yeah. And here's what happened. And when they began to sing and to praise, in verse 22, the Lord set ambushments against their enemies, the children of Ammon, the children of Moab, and the children of Mount Seir, which had come up against them, and they were sweating. Hallelujah, somebody. Oh yeah, that's what the Lord will do for you when you recognize the chariots of fire that are with you. Great is the multitude of the Lord of hosts that's got your back. Amen. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Now listen to this in Isaiah chapter 54. And, you know, sometimes you might wonder, you say, well, you know, that's all wonderful and so on. Yeah, but here is a point blank promise that the Lord gives to us also. You know, these things that are written in the Bible, they are for examples. But here's a point blank promise that he gives unto us today as we read in Isaiah chapter 54. And I'm going to read from verse 14. In righteousness shall thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression. If you believe that, you can say amen. And thou shalt not fear, because you'll be far from terror, and it shall not come near thee. Oh yeah, that's the promise of the Lord. And the Lord knows how to do that, because he'll put the angel of the Lord in the pillar of fire and the chariots of fire all around you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Behold, they shall surely gather together. All your enemies will surely gather together against you, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against you shall fall for thy sake. Hallelujah, somebody. You won't need to do anything. The Lord will take care of that business. Praise God. Verse 17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. Hallelujah, somebody. Why? Because it is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again. And who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? You know, any of those tongues and so forth that bring accusations, has to be falsely though. If they bring accusations falsely against you in the name of the Lord, you don't worry about it. God will take care of it. Amen? But let none of you suffer as an evildoer. Oh yeah. And if those accusations are true, then you're going to pay the price. Amen? Praise God. But if they accuse you falsely, Jesus said, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and shall say all manner of things against you falsely for my sake. He said, rejoice and be exceeding glad. Hallelujah, somebody. Because he'll take care of business. Hallelujah. Praise God. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Now let me read to us here a couple of more stories before we close. Joshua. Judges first. Before I read the Joshua, I want to read Judges first. Judges chapter 7. Now here's the story of Gideon and Gideon's army that the Lord is going to put together here. And some of you may know this story. And of course, you know, various times the people of God, Israel and so on, they had their challenges. You know, sometimes it's at Syria, sometimes it's Midianite, sometimes it's Moab and Ammon and Seir and all so on. In this case, it was the Midianites that were oppressing them, you know, and this is the story of Gideon, you know. So, you know, here's what's going to happen, you know, this story here. Gideon is trying to marshal an army, you know, to go up against, you know, the Midianites, and, you know, and the Midianites was a huge, huge hosts. You know, so let's read in verse 2. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel should found themselves up against me, saying, by my own hand I have saved myself. Amen? There are too many, the Lord said. For it is nothing with the Lord to save with either few or many. It is nothing with him at all. One angel can destroy them all. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, but so Gideon, he started out and he had this huge company. And so finally the Lord told him, he said, look, here's what you're going to do. Go tell everybody that is fearful and unbelieving. Let them go back home. Amen? Because the battle is not for the weak at heart. Amen. Remember in the Bible, in the Revelation, he said, and the fearful and the unbelieving shall not enter into the kingdom of God. Oh yeah. You know, this battle is not for the faint at heart. So those that are afraid, let them go back to their tents. Told them. He said, you know, and he got some unbelief. You know, the crowd is too many. Get rid of the unbelief, he told them. Praise God. You know, some people think that it's all by huge numbers and all of these things. God can do more with a few faithful than a whole bunch of unbelief. How many of you can say praise the Lord? That's right. You know, and especially when there is a mixed multitude of unbelief in there, you know, that don't want the word of the Lord. They just want, you know, some glamour and some of these other things. God can't do anything with them at all. You know, praise God. They'll all be shouting and jumping up and down. So far, God is gone. He's long since gone. You know, but when he can get a group of people together that are in unity, that's one key ingredient. The unity of faith. When they can believe the same thing. And when they can with one mouth speak the same thing. And when they can get a hold of the Lord. Oh yeah, he can do a lot with those people. So he told them, you know, the people that you have are too many. So get rid of them. You know, and the first time, you know, he told them, he said, okay, all of you that are afraid, I want you to leave. Here's what happened. 22,000 of the people left in verse 3. And there remained 10,000. He started out with 32,000. Out of those 32,000, 22 of them were unbelieving anyway. They didn't have any faith. They were fearful. They didn't know that they could win the victory. So the Lord said, you go home. So they left. And there were 10,000. And the Lord looked at the 10,000 and said, 10,000, there's still too many. Praise the Lord. You know, because I don't want you to think that you did it by yourself. You know. God just wants to teach them a lesson here. So he gave him a rule of how to sift the people and so forth, and divide them and told them what to do and so forth. Bring them to the water, he said, you know, the ones that drink this way and the ones that drink that way, separate them. And finally, he got 300. And the Lord said, that's good. And the Lord said to him, verse 7, he said, with these 300 that lot, I will save you and deliver the Midianites unto their hand. You know, and let all the other people return home. Now, oh my. And the story went, you can read it later on, you know, at home. The story went that the Lord, he used those 300 people, and, you know, all they did was blow the trumpets, you know, just blow the trumpets. In fact, at one point in time, Gideon, he wondered, he said, how is this all going to be? So the Lord said, don't worry about it. You know, I want you to go down to such and such a place tomorrow. You know, and you be in a corner over here, it's dropping to somebody's conversation. And you're going to hear something that's going to make you know that the Lord has done this. So the Lord, in the night, he gave a dream to one of the, you know, the people from the other side. You know, and he saw a loaf of bread tumbling into the camp of the Midianites. And he asked his friend, he said, well, see, I saw this dream. I don't know what it means. And the man said, well, that loaf of bread that you saw, that is nothing but the sword of Gideon. Amen, somebody. Some people say, interpretation, you know, how in the world can you interpret a loaf of bread to be the sword of Gideon? Well, because the Lord put the words in his mouth. That's exactly right, because he wanted Gideon to hear it. And that strengthened Gideon. He said, well, my goodness. And so he told them, he said, well, guess what I want you to do? I want you to get some trumpets and various things, and I want you to stand around the camp. You know, and so forth like that. And in verse 22, and the 300 blew the trumpets. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
They blew the trumpets.
Hallelujah.
Blow the trumpet in Zion. sound an alarm on my holy mountain. They blew the trumpets, and they sounded, you know, and then the Lord set every man's sword of their enemies. You know, these people didn't do anything. They just blew the trumpets. And the Lord, you know, all the Midianites, the hundreds and thousands and millions that they were there, they began to fight each other. And they began to kill each other. Praise ye the name of the Lord. That's right. And that's how the Lord, you know, the Lord, he knows what he's doing. You know, that's how he gives you the victory. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. There's one, two more stories that I will read. I'm going to read the one in Joshua last, but I just thought of this one. In the book of 2 Kings chapter 7, Elisha had prophesied that there had been a great famine in the land. And he prophesied that, you know, God was going to do something, that the famine was going to end. And that God was going to bring something about, you know. And if you want to read that story, you'll find it in 2 Kings chapter 7 and so forth like that. Now, you know, the famine got so bad. You know, in case you don't believe it, read it yourself. The famine got so bad that even, you know, people were selling the dung of a dog. Can you believe that? I mean, most of the time when I see these dogs around my yard and my pool, you know, I want to get rid of them. You know, because they mess up the place, you know. But that's how bad it is that these people, you know, it was so bad. You know, listen to what he said in 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 25. And there was a great famine in Samaria. And behold, they besieged it, and an ass's head, you know, nobody eats an ass's head, you know, was sold for 80 pieces of silver and a fourth part of a cap of dog's dung. Maybe you've never read that. There's another word for that. I'm not going to say it. You know, for 5 pieces of silver, you know. Can you imagine that? You know, the poop that the dogs made all over the place. That's how bad it was. People are even selling that. You know, that's how bad things got. You know, if you don't know, that's it. I just told you. You know, so here comes Elisha, you know, and he said, you know, and, you know, let's think of it this way. Let's say things got so bad that, you know, because some of you might not be able to imagine that. You know, let's say things got so bad, you know, that, you know, right now how we, you know, sell, you know, how you buy gasoline for maybe $2.70-something. Let's say it got so bad that gasoline is now being sold at $100 a gallon. You see? Okay? And here comes the man of God, you know, that says, well, you know, this tomorrow, he said, gasoline that is being sold for $100 a gallon will be sold for a penny a gallon. I mean, that's how drastic it was. How many of you are still with me of what he said? And so somebody said, I don't think so. Even if the Lord will open the windows in heaven, I don't think that can happen. Well, the man of God said, well, because you said you don't believe it, it will happen sure enough, but you won't see it. You know, so you better believe the word of the Lord. Amen? Now, so the story goes, you know, here's what happens. In order that the word of the Lord might be fulfilled, which Elisha, the man of God, spoke, here's what God did. He sent some chariots into action. Is there chariots? That's right. And there were 4 leprous men, 2 Kings chapter 3, at the entering of the gate. And they said to themselves, look, why do we stay here until we die? You know, if we say we enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we're going to die. You know, the lepers were supposed to be outside the city anyhow. You know, so, well, you know, if we go into the city, we're going to die anyway, because famine is there. Now, if we stay here, we're going to die. You know, but there's one unknown. You know, if we move forward, perhaps the Lord will do something. You know, so they said, well, you know, let's fall to the camp of the Syrians. Maybe they will save us alive, maybe not. You know, we don't know that. You know, but we know if we go over here, we're going to die for sure. And if we stay here, see, if you go backwards, you're going to die. There's no, you know, no light there. If you stay still, there's no light there, he said. He said, but let's move and see what the Lord will do. You know, they said, well, we don't know what will happen. So they said, well, we'll go to the host of the Syrians. Maybe they'll save us alive, because the Syrians had encamped the city to cut off all their supplies. And they rose up in the twilight and came to the camp of the Syrians. And when they came to the uttermost part of the camp, behold, there was no man there. What happened? Read it in verse 6. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots. Oh yeah. The Lord, he sent some chariots through there. You know. And the noise of the chariots and so forth. You think God's got 20,000 chariots or more? Oh yes. He sent those chariots and they could hear the noise and the raging and so forth. And they ran. Hallelujah, somebody. And finally, these people came in there and said, "Why, goodness." And they made a great spoiler, you know, and all of that. And they went back and got in, you know, everybody else. And they made a great spoiler. And the word of the Lord that through the mouth of the servant of God was fulfilled, you know, and things were so cheap that day because of the great spoiler that they made. You know, but it all happened because the Lord, he sent those invisible chariots. You know, praise God. Hallelujah. He's got those chariots and he can do all of that. Now, Joshua chapter 5. And I'm going to read a couple of verses here to close this. You know, there's a story here that's interesting in Joshua. Now, Joshua was a man of war. How many of you know that? Oh, yes. You know, he was a man of war and he, you know, he was ready to go in and take, you know, he said, "Look, we are able to go in and take the place, you know, because the Lord is with us." So here's what happened in Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there was a man there against him with a sword drawn in his hand. See? So Joshua, he saw this man. He was actually the angel of the Lord. You know, but he saw this man with a sword drawn. And he said unto him, "Are thou for us or for our adversaries?" You know, so Joshua, he challenged this figure that he saw. He said, "Hey, you know, are you on our side or against us?" And listen to what he said. And here, I want you to listen to. That's why I want to read this last, you know, today. So he said, "As the captain of the host of the Lord, am I now come?" Amen. Oh yes. See, now take notice of that. The question that he asked, you know, he said, "Are you for us or are you for adversaries?" And the answer that this man gave, he said, "I am the captain of the Lord's host." Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, God's not coming to do your agenda or somebody's agenda. God has his own agenda. Amen. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, you got to get on God's side. Praise God. Hallelujah. You've got to get on God's side. Now, that's why the Bible says the eyes of the Lord run to and fro. In 2 Chronicles 16 and 9. Run so and fro throughout the earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are perfect before him. Where your heart is perfect before the Lord, when you are on the Lord's side, then he can dispatch the captain of the hosts. He can dispatch the chariots of fire on your behalf. Praise you the name of the Lord. And this man said, "I am the captain of the hosts. And as the captain of the Lord's host, am I now come?" And listen to what he said. He said, "No. But as the captain of the Lord of hosts, I am now come." And immediately Joshua, he fell down and worshipped. And he said, you know, "What saith my Lord unto his servant?" And this captain of the Lord's host, he said unto Joshua, "Loose thy shoe." My goodness. Who do you think that was? "Loose thy shoe." Oh yeah. "From the off the place where you are, for where you stand." Have you heard that before, somebody? Amen. Loose the shoe. You know, there was one man, his name was Moses. And he stood in front of that pillar of fire that burnt that bush, but the bush was not consumed. And he heard a voice that said, "Moses, sir, take off thy shoe, sir, for the place where thou standest is holy ground." Oh my. And I said before, I said, "The Lord, see how quickly he turned the bush and the rocks and the dirt and the sand into holy ground because of the presence of the Lord." And right here, he's telling him the same thing. You think that was just some angel? Oh no, sir. That's the captain of the Lord's host. Hallelujah, somebody. Praise God. In another place, he calls him the author and finisher of our salvation. That's the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Put your hands together for him. Hallelujah. Amen. Because he told him, the place where you're standing is holy ground. Oh yeah, there's never any other angel that can do that. In fact, the angels, when they want to worship, they'll tell him, don't do it. You know, and so forth. But this man, he didn't tell him not to do it. He told him, take off your shoes. Oh yeah. Because once in a while, here comes the captain of the Lord's hosts. Praise ye the name of the Lord. And when he comes, because he's got an eternal purpose that he's about to fulfill. And he said, you know, this time around, oh my goodness, he's going to do it himself. Praise ye the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise ye the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. And it reminds me of this story in the book of Revelation. The Bible says, the 24 elders and all these people and all this ruckus that is going on in heaven, they stop not night and day to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And they cast their crowns before the throne and so forth. And that's the activity that goes on night and day, non-stop in heaven. But one time and one time only. Hallelujah. And I guarantee you people, you know, some people say it is worth the price of admission. Well, this one time, and one time only, all of heaven is going to be silent. One time only. And someday I'll tell you all about that. But it was silent for 30 minutes. The space of about half an hour in the book of Revelation, chapter 8 and verse 1. Oh my goodness. Praise God. Hallelujah, somebody. All that activity that is going on in heaven is going to be silent. Why? Because, you know, the Bible says, now it will be known through the church. You know, the manifold wisdom of God will be revealed even to angels. And all of these things, you know, principalities, they desire to peep into these things, but they don't understand it, you know. So finally, you know, all that stuff, God said, shh. Amen. Hallelujah, somebody. Oh, I want to hear my sons praise me. Oh, my. When the praises of God are made perfect, finally, upon this earth, the Lord himself, he will appear again. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible says, shall come with a shout of the archangel and with the trump of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Well, I went into a little prophecy, a prophetic revelation in there, but, you know, don't lose sight of the subject. The chariots of fire are with the people of God. And the Lord, he has a way to bring you the victory. All you've got to do is stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Now, if you are here this morning, and you need the salvation of the Lord in your life, I want to let you know that he that is with you is greater than all the threat that the enemy poses against you. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Every lie that the enemy has told you, the Bible says, I am the Lord that frustrated the tokens of the liars. He's got his own armies, the Lord. The armies and the hosts of heaven, they answer to the Lord. Oh my. You know, one time Jesus said, don't you think I can ask my Father and he will send me 20,000 legions already, just like that? Oh, he can do it too. Praise God. But they are here at our disposal. Now, you may not see all of this just like Elisha's servant. You know, his eyes couldn't see into the spirit world. But when Elisha prayed, then he saw that, behold, my goodness, chariots of fire all around. Now I want to tell you that today there are chariots of fire surrounding you. Praise God. Praise ye the name of the Lord. There are chariots of fire surrounding you. Praise God. And whether you see it or not, I want you to know every day that the Lord is on your side. And that the Lord, you know, because why? Because that your heart is perfect before Him. See, so that's your responsibility. Make sure that your heart is perfect before the Lord. And the Lord will be with you. And He will fight your battles. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Now I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask the Lord to open your eyes. Praise God. That you may see, oh my, chariots of fire. And the angel of the Lord with the drawn sword. And perhaps He'll allow you to see what the Lord is doing on your behalf. Praise ye the name of the Lord. But even if you don't see, blessed are those that see not, but yet believe. Hallelujah. Now lift up your hands and let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you because the angels of your presence are always around the people of God. Chariots of fire. Oh, He said, my father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And these chariots of fire, they came and took Elijah away. Oh, yes. Now, Lord, we know these chariots of fire are surrounding your people, Lord. And he that is with us is greater than they that are against us. And if the Lord be for us, and if the Lord be with us, then what does it matter who is against us? The psalmist said, if the Lord be for us, who is against us? Praise God. He said, the Lord is the light of my salvation. I will not fear what man can do unto me. Because the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Even though an host should encamp around me, in this my heart will be confident. Because I know the chariots of the Lord are 20,000. And they are ready to fight on my behalf. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Now, the Lord said, as the captain of the Lord's hosts, am I now come? Oh, yes. And the angel, oh my, that's right. The angel of the Lord encampeth around those that fear Him. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, there is an army that the Lord is building. It's a spiritual army. And the Lord is the captain of those hosts. Hallelujah. Now, if you want to be a part of that spiritual army, hallelujah. I'm going to give you an opportunity today in case you say, well, I don't know what that's all about. Well, it's very simple. God has His own armies. Hallelujah. And though we are in the flesh, we do not wrestle in the flesh. As a matter of fact, we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Hallelujah. Now, if you want to be a part of that great spiritual army that God is building, you know, this is your opportunity. If you have never done so, to turn your life over to Christ and let Him take you and turn you into one of the hosts of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. The host of the Lord. Hallelujah. And I tell you, you know, there's a great work for the host of the Lord, you know, because, you know, we're going to do a great work not only here on earth, but finally we're going to kick the devil out of heaven. Amen. Praise God. Because He said Michael and his angels so fought and they kicked that devil's butt. Oh yeah. Praise. Hallelujah. And I'm going to be there in that company that finally kicks him out of there. Amen, Jesus. Praise God. Are you going to be there? Are you going to be a part of that? Hallelujah. Now, if you're here this morning and you've never known the salvation and the power of God in your life, this is your opportunity. I know that many of the people that are here are regular folks and, you know, they come to church and so forth. Many of you have loved the Lord in all your life and you're saved, but we never know. There could be somebody here that would want to do that. So if that's you and you want to experience the power of a new life, I want to ask you today. Hallelujah. I want to give you a chance because we never want to close any service without letting people have a chance to come. If you are here this morning, you want to do that, I want you to come and let's pray with you and let's invite you and welcome you into the family of God. Praise you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. And those of you that have been born again into the family of God, you know, we want to invite you to be present this weekend to receive the endowment of power that's going to utterly change your lives. Praise you in the name of the Lord. And our Lord Jesus, bless everyone that is here this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And we know, Lord, that you are ever with us. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Blessed be thy name. Give the Lord a big hand clap here this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.